G'day everyone and welcome to the show, and on today's show we've got Solrita and Taria, if I pronounce
that's right.
Thanks for coming back. You're actually up here visiting myself at the moment, and Giles and Brittany at the meeting place we're located. And we've had quite a bit of stuff going on here.
Yeah, we have.
You're a psychic. You cover a lot of things. You do soul readings, tarot cards.
Yep.
Normal, you know, psychic readings.
Yeah.
You speak star languages.
Yep.
What else do you cover?
Doing aura drawings, working with guides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing that for?
Well, I've seen auras since I was a child.
Child, yeah.
Yep. And my three kids see auras too.
So yeah. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
And yep. For a bit more on all that, we've done a show probably about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, in June.
So you can go back to that, but we're going to go into some other deeper stuff today, I guess we'd say. Just while we're on the topic of you being here, do you want to go in with me and we'll talk about just some of the activity that we've been experiencing while you've been up here? Like, we've had experiences with mantids.
Yep.
Orbs.
Shadow men.
Yeah, you've had
shadow beings.
Experiences with Shiji, my Pleiadian contact now, which is pretty cool. Others have that have been here as well, so it's not just like myself has been experiencing this or it's just for me, but others have been experiencing it too. We've had lots of crafts that we've been filming as well, so how's that been for you? Because you have had both physical and, what would you say, like ethereal or third eye?
Yeah, etheric or third eye, both. Yeah. So like inner and outer etheric and astral type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's it been with the physical stuff? Because that's really just as much as the physical, because, you know, you're experiencing it, that's your reality. But how is it for you having the difference of being around myself and us here? Like, you've had it before, you've had the physical,
but
just on this scale.
It's definitely intensified. And it's also helped me learn and recognise, you know, when you do see something, exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just tuning into the energy of that too. But also just the energy of the people here on the property and with the work that you do, just you see so much more than what you would do in a normal everyday situation.
So how is it for you in terms of like validity? Like, I know myself when I started having the experiences, like I think after my first sighting, like I didn't have people with me when I was young, which it was the greys I was having experiences with. I didn't see them as ET, I didn't see them as demonic, I just didn't know what the hell I was seeing. And it sort of just left my mind for a while. And then I had a sighting at 12, and then later on 2004, and then later in 2010 when I had those six sightings in 2 weeks, people were with me a lot of the time. With you, it wasn't like that for a lot of until recent times. But how's it been now? Like, we've talked about in your last show how hard, you know, you slept in your parents' room up until
17. Yeah.
Because of the activity that she was experiencing. So this is where,
not having anyone to share it with. But it was so real at the same time that I think for a lot of kids, you know, they see stuff where they don't have anyone to validate it.
Mm.
For me, it was just so strong and so real that you couldn't not believe what was happening.
Yeah. So now that you're, like, even you're from Melbourne.
Yeah.
You were born and bred in Melbourne. Like, you're Melburnian, I think they call it. I once was.
Yep.
For 3 or 4 years. But, like, going there, you've had some experiences with, I think you've even had sightings with people from the talk group as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you've like, got that photo of the beings, the four sort of vibrating in and that type of thing. But, like, you came up here a month and a half ago and you had, like, it was a pretty full-on sighting. I think we did the show before that sighting.
Yeah.
Where the Sirian craft came down really, and it was big with the Orion craft coming in the background. And this is where, it was funny because I told her they're here right now. So we walk out, and just as we walked out, you were asking for a sign.
From family. Yeah.
And you're Sirian. Yeah. And I'm Orion. So this is where it gets tricky. So we walk out and right there, like I said, the craft is coming in.
Yep.
And the Orion is following the Sirian craft. Giles and Brittany are sitting down at the dam, at the meeting place area where all this usually takes place, all the sightings and a lot of what's going on. But there's stuff happening all over the property.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there wishing that I would be seeing what they're seeing. And all of a sudden, my spotlight that would have to be at least half a K away or more.
Yeah.
They could see my spotlight beaming the craft as it went by. But that's when it, would that be one of the closest sightings you've had? Like, you've had it closer, probably, but physical wise, it's the
probably like one of the second most memorable, I think.
Yeah.
The one of the other ones was in Melbourne, and it was like a white moon-shaped craft with a blue ball behind it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden just saw it power off.
Yeah, what was that? Do you know, did you get any thought transfer or anything in information on,
I've not looked into like the beings behind it.
Yeah,
it was just, there was three of us there. One of them was Lee from Talk Group. Yeah, so that was in Parkdale.
So do you reckon it's just one of those situations where the dude's nearby and you just happen to pick, like, because that's what I noticed with a lot of my stuff, especially being here. Like, you've witnessed that we're in Queensland, and where I'm living now is Round Hill area, which is just outside Agnes Water, and people call this a portal area, and I was a bit sort of sceptical about some of that sort of stuff and the claims, but
you can feel it when you're taking me on some of the walks and things.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we've felt the same energy change.
At the exact same spot.
Exactly. Pretty much on every single one of them too.
Yeah. Well, Ellis Taylor knows a bit about this area with the portal. I've had Ellis Taylor on the show before, and Mary Rodwell lives here. Giles, who I've had on the show, I'm living on his property now. And just everyone I talk to, they go, Agnes Water's a portal area, and there is, apparently, if I've got the story correct, there's a lookout, the 1770 lookout, they call it, or whatever. There used to be, apparently, a Freemason temple on an area there, and they reckon it's a energy vortex portal, whatever you want to call it, and it lines up with Uluru in the middle of Australia on the energy grid. Other people have come to me and corroborated. I haven't sort of delved into it firsthand, which I'm hoping to do so in future. Yeah.
Well, we even got some interesting energy with that today too.
Well, when we went up there. Yeah. So you can literally, to test Sorita out when we went up there, because I took you and Mick went up there with us from Talk Group, came up as well. And I thought, I'll shut up.
So this was back in June.
Yeah, in June. And I just said, I'll shut up and just see what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two areas where it got in. You could basically feel like you're getting blasted with energy.
It definitely intensifies.
Yeah, so it was just cool that you verified the areas that I picked up and hadn't told you about. The first time I went up there, I was not told that that was the portal spot. And I was walking there with Giles, and I got sort of blasted, and I told Giles to come back, and Giles said, yeah, I can actually feel it. It was like a spiderweb sensation up to the knees. And then I told Mary Rodwell about it, and she said that the area's been blocked, that somebody's tried blocking it, whether it was the Freemasons or whatever, because the area's...
That's what I felt today at the pyramid stack one, was blocked. There was an undercurrent of a block thing to throw you off.
Yeah, off the sand, and it sort of scattered it, yeah. And the area we went to was where... Captain Cook, who apparently founded Australia, but yet there's evidence of like the Spaniards and other people that have found Australia beforehand. But that's the area where it was first, I think he first came into Australia from what I understand, which is why it's called 1770, because it happened in 1770. But there's a lot going on. Lots of people have had reports from locals that they've had sightings around that lookout area.
Yeah.
During the day, we've had a lot of daytime sightings and...
Oh, on the beach too.
Yeah, on the beach.
Yeah. And then we had all the beings sitting around on rocks.
Rocks, yeah.
Had a massive audience.
Yeah. It was pretty fascinating. We're getting blasted now as we talk about that.
Me too.
So it's not just myself or Sol or Giles or Mary. There's a long, long history about... you know, activity in this being a portal hotspot. What's even trippier to add on to that is that the amount of people that have moved here from around the world and they've had to come here, there's people that we've met, or well, I've met, I know that you've met one of the ladies that had to move here without ever visiting here. They had to pack up their stuff and move here. A large majority of the town are not even Australian. They've moved here from overseas and they've just had to be here. So, it's trippy, and then to throw something else in the mix, nearly everyone's an experiencer.
Yeah, yep.
So if you're not an experiencer here, you're sort of the odd one out, which is really, you know, it's a bit backwards, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's a lot of the reason why it feels like home for me here too. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to get back into, is how has it been for you having, like, of course, you've got people with talk that have experienced stuff and that, but on this level, like, you've got a lot of people here, like myself and Giles and others, that are actually witnessing firsthand what you're witnessing and vice versa. Like, you say, I see this over there, and it's like, yeah, I see that too.
I know. But, and to describe the same thing, you know, like the same height being at the same time, same colour, even when we saw a few beans the other day, and we're pointing, like, going right up close to the wall, going, can you see the head shape there? And you're like, oh, yep, it's here. And that's just been incredible validation for me, even though, you know, I've done what I've done for so long,
you know, with my work. Yeah. Yeah.
But still to have others after going all my life without having, you know, others to see the same things, apart from my kids. It's been good to see others and to share that experience. And just, you know, being in the house with Giles and Britt and yourself too. Mm. Just sitting there, and we had a smoke alarm go off the other night.
Well, it happened a few, and the funny thing is, you said it would be funny if it goes off without the battery in it. And Giles has reported to me many times about, I think I experienced it when I first visited here.
Mm-hmm.
And Giles was saying, usually around the time when there are experiences and stuff, like every day we've got smoky, wispy dudes walking through the place. I call some of them are the guardians, but a lot of the time
Sort of what we're getting into with the guide stuff too.
Yeah.
But the smoke alarm the other night I felt was more like the mantid beans.
Yeah.
And I knew that when the battery would come out that it was still going to go off.
Yeah.
Which was funny because then that happened.
And the stereo being turned up full wall for absolutely no...
Two nights in a row.
And
you could feel the energy behind that.
And the baby seems to not... It should be waking up because it's a loud, really loud system. Oh, so
it was deafening.
That's just the type of stuff going on here. Mm. But, like, with at the moment for you, like, experiencing this, how's it helping you in other ways? Because you've got lots going on. You're always helping other people and you've got information coming through.
Yeah.
Is it sort of like you time here and you picking up on, like, reconnecting with you? Because that's what we want the property to be for.
We picked a card for this before as well. Mm. So this is the card that we got. So I saw sort of this being representation of, you know, holding strong with all of the chaos and the patterns that are happening around.
Mm.
And there's a lot happening. We've got a meteor shower happening tonight.
The Poseidon's, I can't say it properly, but it's something like that.
Yeah. And then we've also had supermoon as well. Yeah, so that's just been, so there's a lot of people going through emotional, you know, upheaval and turmoil type stuff, but it's just another lesson to stay aligned with your own things. And to, you know, live by your own values. And I feel like, you know, so we're getting tested from that sort of thing too. And that's what this represents, is all the tests and all other people's ideals of, you know, how you should be, do, say.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can hold strong in yourself, and I feel like this is what this property does for experiences. It feels like it grounds you and that it reaffirms all of those things. I think sometimes with people when they have a hard time being here on the property because it's forcing them to deal with their own stuff. So if they're not clear sort of within themselves, you know, it can cause you to come undone.
Well, that's exactly right. There's been people visit the property and they've just become unglued. This is the only way I can explain it, I guess. And what that is bringing up the issues that they need to deal with within them. So it's sort of like if they haven't been dealing with their...
It's like a mirror.
Yeah. A reflection of them, and that will sort of be like a projection of their own, well, basically illusion on what they think reality is, and they're not dealing with their stuff. So that comes to the surface. In saying that, even the best of us or whatever, we still have something, but it's more dealing with in terms of the next step, the next level. Exactly. Which my next book's going to be called The Next Level, because I was asking for all this before I even came to Queensland, and there's sort of a big synchronicity on events with Mary Rodwell, Giles, and everything else that's gone on with The Next Level, basically. And it isn't what I expected, so there's...
It's good we've to all be got surprised. Baggage.
It is good to be surprised, and that's the best way to go. But the thing about this is that we've all got something. And like I said, I know from my experiences, I wrote my last book that you're reading now, and with the experiences I'm having and when I read the energy grid of the galactic plane, what I call here within the universe, now's the time of sort of cleaning up baggage. Now, it goes on for over a few years. We're always going to clean up something within us. There's always going to have to be something to deal with. There's always going to be a roadblock. There's going to be something.
Yep.
But now we're at the time where you either get with the program or you stay the way you are and you go down that road, and there's no right or wrong. There's no judgment. There's no, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. It's where you're at and where you're spiritually ready to go and develop, and, you know, what's the next step for you. And there's a lot of us that have come down the planes to this physical reality at this time to help.
Yeah.
Some have been stuck here. It's a lot more convoluted than what people think. And daily I'm sort of more, you know, I don't get blown out of the water in terms of, you know, I just say now, it just, nothing surprises me.
Yeah.
But this property does bring up a lot of people's stuff. Giles was at James's ranch for 3 months living with James Gilliland, and he said it was very much the same. Lately we've had more work done on the property, opened up on Giles's property here at the meeting place, and we've got another dam put in, and the energy Giles said to me when we went down there was, it is very similar to James's ranch now, and I was getting blasted.
Yeah,
and
so then I saw, when I came up to see it.
Yeah. And then I saw some dude like Raiden from Mortal Kombat come in and sort of like in warrior mode scoot across. And then I said to Giles, did you see that? And he goes, no, but what I described to him was the colours and something that he did see just before he got me to come down. That's why he got me to go down, because he was looking at the work done on the property and said, Pete, come and check this out. And got down there, and
That's interesting, because this time and last time, you know, seeing the lightning in the sky in that certain spot on the property, which is like a portal.
And Raiden from Mortal Kombat works with lightning. He's
a lightning dude.
And we've had lightning going on in the house, which I've reported before, but it was with the Elohim, which are these blue light beings that you've seen the Syrian type of that, which I think is the same offshoot, as weird as it sounds. It's getting, those who know my story, you're sort of going, well, this is getting trippier, but that's just the way it is. So, so it's been like trippy for you to witness a bit more of the smoky stuff too. Do you usually get that much smoky stuff where, because it happens everywhere?
Well, back in Melbourne, I don't know if it's because it's sort of, you know, a colder environment, whether it has an easier time materializing, but I actually get it thicker in Melbourne, whereas here it's like a finer vibration. I don't know if it's because the energy is better here.
Do you get as much of it?
Property? It's different. It's really, it's more like a mist back in Melbourne. It's actually a bit denser.
Here it's sort of vibrating in, but have you noticed that?
It's definitely a finer vibration. Yeah. But I'll also see it here, like is in sheets or like walls as well. Yeah.
So what do you, like after coming here and experiencing what you have, how do you feel what's going on here? Like I've told you about,
my crown's just going in my third eye at the moment now.
Like I've talked, probably best for you, the viewers and listeners, to go to my website, petermaxwellslattery.com, and on the meeting place page, I've written a little write-up, which is from Mary Rodwell's ASO newsletter, about why it's called the meeting place and what beings are interacting here. And I'll just go a little bit into it. There's a symbol. Brittany found this symbol, which is Giles's partner, and it means the meeting place. And I kept on getting information, and I had a experience with an Aboriginal elder spirit as soon as I rocked up to this property. And then it happened a couple of times since. I've been shown this is a portal area.
Which is what we were getting with the guide stuff that night too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Metatron's involved here. People have had experiences with Metatron. I did last year. I didn't know what the hell it was, and then I hear Mary Rodwell and Lauren Kurth have had experiences with Metatron, and then I find out off you, after you leave the first time, that Metatron's, you've had an experience with him too.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that Joel's, I think Joel, if I might be wrong, is Metatron is a higher version of Enoch or something like that.
Something similar. I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah. Like it's all interconnected. And then I used to get it also when I studied, I'd get Metatron's energy when we're studying planetary medicine and, you know, esoteric and occult geometry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so working with, you know, sort of universal patterns and shapes. Geometries. And I've had, you know, geometries and that pop up too. But then I also get Melchizedek with that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find that two of the energies sometimes will work hand in hand. It's like a bit to learn from one, a bit to learn from the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Like, there's stuff going on here with what I would call the Guardians, which few of you have now experienced it, though it may not be as physical as you sitting in front of me. Like, I've seen it, like, packs of them.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, looking at the small ones and tall ones.
Do you feel that as we're talking to?
Yeah. And they're white with the big, big arm and eyes. They're sort of like more a human body with the grey's head and the eyes, and this sort of stuff's being seen all around the property of the Guardians. I've been taking on their crafts, which is sort of like a, how would you say, more like a transparent craft. So yeah. I'll be taking on that. Have you had experiences with, you feel the Guardians about?
Yeah, and that was interesting the other night too, seeing those white beings that had the smaller black eyes.
Yeah,
and to me, the only way I could describe their skin was, it looked like spun spider webs.
Now, was that the ancient Syrians? The
etherealness. Yeah. That,
yeah.
Yeah. Which I hadn't seen them before, but they had smaller eyes, sort of similar size to us.
Yeah.
But the iris was black.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were, well, they were saying they were the ancient Syrians.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that I've seen them, and then I've seen the tall whites,
yeah.
Which are similar to, I guess, body shape a little bit like the greys.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes there's the small whites as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's lots coming in.
Yeah. So they're more etheric. And sometimes I'll just get them standing in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
One, for some reason, I don't know why, was standing near the rubbish bin.
Yeah, you're telling us about that, which is pretty trippy. Yeah, I'm
like, of all the places to pick to stand in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you've got a lot of work going on with, you do readings over Scott Hall.
Yeah.
What would you say? Because you do a mixture.
Yeah.
You'll do a drawing and cards and...
That's the most popular type of reading too, is the... Well, it's half psychic reading with the tarot cards.
Yeah.
And then the other half is the aura drawing. So talking about, you know, the guides that are around you, talking about hybrids, ETs.
Whatever's coming through from it.
Exactly. Whatever's hanging around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll pick up on it.
It also sort of works with bringing you back to your higher purpose as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your soul's journey.
So how long have you been doing that for? Like, you've been in tune and having experiences, you know, since you were young. But how long is, and how did this, your direction get focused on to that?
That probably would have pinpointed last year.
Yeah.
So I'd always sort of done, because I'm a trained kinesiologist as well.
Yeah.
So I've always done a bit of everything, but it's more all of a sudden, don't know if it's to do with like the raising of the consciousness and to do with the shift that we've been going through. Whether more and more people are just looking for that sort of thing. But yeah, it's pretty much been 98% of my work has been just that.
But you're highly respected. Like, Rodwell told me about you before I met you. You know, you're respected with the reviews and that of your work, or people that have had their, you know, done a write-up on you, your work and the validity and how tripped out, you know, looking back what's going on.
Yeah.
I've had family and friends do it, and they're pretty tripped out by it. I've been tripped out, but I think everyone else has sort of been like, well, you know, because a lot of people that I've met that claim to be psychic or whatever, though I hate that terminology, I think are related, you know.
Yeah.
I
mean, I don't personally use that word on myself.
Yeah.
It's just to the closest description that I can have to the type of work that I do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a category.
Yeah.
I guess.
But there's, you know, there's so much variety with it, but you seem to be in tune, and that's where, for me, like, even I know myself, I didn't expect to be doing guide work.
Yeah.
And that sort of has tripped me out, but it's led there.
Which was amazing for me to experience that firsthand, and just the way that you hold the energy too.
Yeah.
And you hold that space. You know, it really gives such like a cradling effect and a safe environment to do that.
Yeah.
Especially if people haven't done that before too, or if it's something that they're looking to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of hard that, well, it's not hard, it's easy what I do, but it's hard to gauge where people are at, if, how much do they want to be blown out?
Yeah.
Because if somebody like yourself, or even Carol Martin that you know of, or really, whoever's an experiencer and how much they are developed maybe on third eye status, in their status with their third eye, you know, connecting with that, or energy, very easy to work with, because it's not like I can I can bring in your guides, but what I train to do is actually I want to give people tips and tools to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So you'll notice on my website which is or what empowering. I do. Yeah, well that's what I want to do. And you do that too, because you give people, you put them on their path and they do with it what they may, and it's to help them. And that's what I try to do with calling it connecting you to your guide, you to your guides. Yeah. So it's, people go, oh, you'll get more guides, and it's like, actually I want to get you, so I get you to bring in your guides like I did with you.
Yeah.
And all hell broke loose because we had a room full of us.
It was a busy room.
Yeah.
But also, you know, after reading books on that sort of thing myself years and years ago, there's so much more to learn from hands-on experience of it. You might spend, you know, 10 years, you know, learning something out of a book and practicing over and over. But to go firsthand and have that experience and get that instant verification, that... You know, that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, like, I get that from your work when you've done it with me. It's basically, you know, as I said, there's a large majority of people that claim to do whatever they do. And I just, you know, they're full of crap. Sorry. But they, a lot of them are. And that it pisses me off, being an experiencer with...
Sometimes that's coming more from ego.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I'm no better than anyone else. But why it does... emotionally pee me off is because of the situation with like you've seen a lot of crafts with me and then yeah, there's people out there that will fake footage and it puts the whole thing in the question when it's basically putting smoke into the situation and it's distraction.
Exactly.
But you know, coming across somebody like yourself and we've got a connection and stuff going on, it's, you know, it's such a breath of fresh air for me.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, emotional for me and for everyone here because everyone's catching up at a specific point. Now, what I wanted to go on to, like, we've touched on it a bit already, but at the moment, like, we've got the moon, as you said, the meteor shower. There's a lot going on, as I said, with people cleaning up their baggage.
Mm.
What's some tips and tools of people looking at their own crap? I've probably just got just as much baggage as anybody watching this, to tell you the truth, and I think the more that you're aware of who you are and what you can do, the more baggage is actually you realise you have because you're aware on a conscious level. So if you're aware more, you're actually aware of way more things than what the average Joe would be, because they're not at where you're at looking at your perception of your illusion at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess the thing that it depends... I wouldn't sort of say, you know, try looking at everything from all angles at once. Mm. I'd probably pick one or two things in particular to work on.
Mm.
For me, personally, my energy and with the work that I do, I feel better on mainly a raw vegan diet.
Yeah.
That's not to say that I don't occasionally have meat or things like that. Sometimes I will crave that. And then I'll have that, but it might be, you know, once or twice a year. I think just to follow your intuition in whatever you're doing, for my intuition and for myself, it has been to go mainly into the raw vegan foods, because it is a higher vibrational energy. Your body doesn't need to actually recognize or sort of decode the foods that you're taking in. So if you eat a banana, your body recognizes that as a food from nature. You know, it's not being cooked or chemically changed or processed in any way. So that means that it's less time spent digesting. So that's more energy that you have to do other things. I also find just energetically and vibrationally, the information that I get with readings and things, it comes through finer. It comes through louder.
Yeah. So just while you're touching on that, something that might sound trippy to somebody watching this going, what, Pete's lost it, but I'll actually walk around with the singing bowl in the veggie patch. We've got a huge veggie patch here, eh?
Yeah, like, that's cool.
Yeah. And I'll do that, and it's sort of like communicating with the plants and sending some healing energies and just sort of entertainment for them, I guess, too. Like, there's been a few I've talked about, which is, like, we've had Bigfoot stuff happen here too, which I've talked about with Brad Thornton, but... and I didn't know what to make of that. I didn't know what to make of anything, but it seems to be around going on here anyway. But doing that, like, I feel connected with plants, nature, anything that's, well, everything's consciousness or a projection of the overall over consciousness, source, whatever, but when you're aware of that, you can feel blocks in energy and everything like that, but have you heard anyone doing something like a singing bowl and playing it and it affects...
Yeah, I've got them at home.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. So that's something... I use it more from a cleansing point of view.
So would that be on the body computer, would it, or energy?
Well, I was showing you with the chakras the other day, you know, we're doing over the crown chakra.
Yeah.
And so just... Sometimes you'll notice if there's a block in energy when you hit it, and it might be a little bit clangier.
Mm-hmm.
And then, say, if you're working on a clearer chakra or a clearer energy center, then you'll notice the vibration is like a higher pitch or a higher frequency, and it will also resonate a lot longer. So you can use them for sound healing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also house clearing too.
Yeah. No, that's good. I'll use it every now and then for
I did forget to mention as well with the whole raw food thing too, there's a philosophy behind it about feeding the light body. So a lot of people look at it in the way of, you know, feeding on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's trippy that you bring that up because Dolores Cannon mentioned something very similar about how we're going into a lighter density or those that are ready to go to the next phase of what's going on. That's part of the process, which you've seen I do eat a little bit of crap. Not as much as what I used to, but...
And you've been having a lot more raw dishes too since I've been up here.
Then I was into the... One of my main things is the shakes.
Yeah.
As well. So it's just little things like that, even though on a subconscious level, in the conscious mind, that's happening. I was doing that and I wasn't really realising why.
It's a process that takes time. You know, it doesn't just happen. Some people it does happen overnight, but usually it takes time because you're upgrading and assimilating a new energy.
Yeah.
And the old energy is trying to process that at the same time.
And you can't do some of it like, from what I've heard, not from you, but from others, you can't just go straight from eating meat to stopping. You can, but
it's rare.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, it's not good, apparently. There's meant to be a process where you will go from that to incorporating chicken and then slowly weaning yourself,
getting rid of the cutting red it down meat first and
because you don't want the body to have a shocked effect on it either.
Yeah.
So,
and it's also just about listening to if you do need to eat that, it's not about feeling bad about yourself or anything. It's just knowing what you need in that moment. The same as with, you know, homeopathics and medicines. We need different things at different times.
Yeah.
If you're getting a craving for certain food, there's usually a nutritional component that you're lacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just even incorporating substitutes, like I have a hell of a lot of coffee, and I've been going to what I call yerba mate, but it's
yerba mate.
Yerba mate is the proper name for it. But... And the way I've been having that, I thought that was bloody coffee. Exactly. I didn't even know it was a tea until you go, this is a tea.
Yeah.
And I've tricked myself, and it's something where it's a hell of a lot healthier. I still get that binging.
And that's the thing, energy. Is to find those transition foods.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing for me being a sweet tooth, is to find those raw foods. You know, like I make these lemon bliss bowls and, you know, raw chocolate cake that might be like a layer of, it's almost like a pie. It's like a layer of chocolate crumble with like a chocolate mousse. And then raw chocolate ganache melted on top that goes hard like tempered chocolate with goji. You know, just if I can have foods like that, I don't miss the other foods.
Well, that's what all of us, like Giles and Brita said too. It's like you eat what you've made us. Yeah. And
which has been fun too, staying with them and doing some raw dishes. And they're quite simple, good. The ones that we've been doing.
It is simple and it actually tastes as good. I could live off that.
Yeah.
You know?
So I do sometimes post that on my Facebook account.
Yeah.
So on Sol Rita Psychic Readings, I'll often put up, you know, a new shake or like raw zucchini pasta, different things like that that are good to try.
And that, I don't know if it was a dessert or a mousse thing that you made, but it tasted like bloody yoga. Is that the, remember
is
how...
Is that the chocolate chia seed mousse or was it more like a chocolate smoothie?
I know two of them sort of tasted, they had that taste to it, but for being healthy...
Yeah, you can see how you could live off that
as your sweet tooth.
Eating junk.
Yeah.
You're tricking the brain.
Yeah, basically, and, you know, especially with the cashews and that, incorporating that with a lot of the food.
So you're getting your protein. But it's also, it's about reprogramming the body on a cellular level, but also on a mental, emotional level too, because food really has, you know, emotional patterns and, you know, think about Christmas time and, you know, you get into that emotion when you think about those foods.
Yeah.
So it's really a transformation on all levels, or it was for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big thing to be tricking, like, the body, and to be aware of what the body computer can do. Mm. And this is where, like, what I'm getting told to go into now is even stuff like tips and tools for what's going on at the moment. So we've just talked about eating and how that can help with the light body.
Definitely.
And just the health in general, because the less, you know, crap you've got in your food, the better and more productive your body computer is going to be, which is connected to spirit. Spirit's connected through the right side, going through to the left. It's filtered there, but we're still getting energetic read and feel on everything else. But I think, like we've talked about it, having a balance in life is probably the one of the best things you can do. People want to become enlightened, but yet they, a lot of people talk to me from around the world, and I want to be enlightened, this and that, and you know. First thing is you better check yourself. And that's not trying to be hardcore, but
yeah.
The more, I never thought I'd be here five years ago. You thought I'd be doing this and where I am without a cent to my name, but everything's provided for me wherever I go. As soon as I need whatever I need, it's provided.
Yeah.
And I know I'm on the right mark because it was a synchronistic event.
Yeah.
So you would know that yourself with synchronicity. That's a big part, but the main thing I've been bringing up to you and everyone else is you've got to have a balance.
Definitely.
So you would know yourself, like balance with exercise, balance with you time, balance with the kids, balance with your partner.
Yeah.
Social balance with friends and going out.
Yeah.
And then you time. And I think one of the biggest things I say to people, because a lot of people want to meditate, and I believe that they're clearing your mind is good. But I don't think that's where it is, because everything's by thought to me.
Yeah.
I think about how I perceive my thoughts, and then I'm dragged back to God consciousness when I can do it quickly through the type of meditation I do.
Yeah.
So in saying that, people go, I can't do that, I can't even clear my mind. What should I do? And it's like, well, take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Go on ground and connect with Earth's energy, which is, you know, there's that movie Grounding, which is something everybody should watch at the moment, with the healing properties that people can have on their body from the earth.
Definitely. One other thing that I find helps me when I am feeling that way is to dance.
Yeah.
The kids and I have a dance off.
Yeah.
So we'll just put music on and just keep dancing until, you know, everything feels good again.
Yeah.
And it just helps to put you back in your body and not so much in the mind.
Yeah.
And to have fun.
Well, that's it. And this is what we've been saying here with the contact stuff. Or C5, whatever the hell people want to call it, I just use that terminology, like you use psychic for some reference. But a big thing is to actually have fun. Like, people go out and they're so serious with their head up their backside that nothing ever happens. And nothing ever happens because who wants to connect with that form of consciousness that's so serious? There are times where you've got to be serious and you've got to be real about stuff, but if you're lighthearted, you're funny and you've got good intent.
Yeah.
These dudes pick up on that no matter what they are, where they're from.
It's like a party. They want to join the party.
Yeah. And the amount of, like, you can see with the beings that we do interact that you've witnessed here, we've got, like, Giles has talked about what we describe as Pooh Man, and I'm the only other dude that had experienced it, this being, before even knowing Giles, and Giles had experienced this, he's the only person I know that's experienced this being up until now, with you and Brittany also having interactions with him. And
he's a funny guy, even though, you know, he's enlightened beyond imagination. And
ancient, probably ancient. More ancient than the mantis.
Yeah.
Mantis beings, and that's a big statement. So, the dude looks like E.T. with black eyes.
It looks like looking in binoculars, you know, like that tubular type eye shape.
And dark, dark brown and really, really wrinkly. You couldn't tell that he's got a nose or a mouth unless you really, like, unless he even moves that area, because you can't see a nose or a mouth. But
you feel his energy around now just talking about him. Can you feel him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got the most crazy sense of humour in terms of, well, we can hear Giles on his show, on the show I did with Giles Campbell, talk about it, but he was coming in like Yoda the other night, doing flips and stuff that you were seeing.
Yep,
and
seeing his little cape twirl around.
Yeah.
But also, like, the amount of times we've asked him now, you know, about, and Mary said too, you know, is there any other name besides Pooh Man? Yeah. And
I wish there was, but he looks like E.T. from the movie E.T., but he doesn't care. Like, Pooh Man doesn't care being called, he doesn't care.
He thinks it's funny.
Yeah. But
and that's what he's trying to remind us as well, is to be in that lighthearted space.
Yeah.
And playful.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, you go through ancient scripts and they say, be childlike. You know, keep that about you. But he's... Like, that's the dude that I've spoken about on the show before, where there was these cardboard cutouts, and I'm arguing with this being about I'm not going to have sex or ram these cardboard cutouts, but yet I knew I was going to anyway. And this is the dude that, like, it's just a sense of humour. We're laughing about it, me and this being. He's from Orion, I later found out. There's a little bit about him in my book, and he was on the craft with Carol Martin when I was taken with her, which my hypnosis regression is about. So, and, you know, it's just one of those things where there's... I don't know anyone else really besides us that have experienced... I know that there would be people out there that had interactions with him. But to me, like Steven Spielberg or whoever created that E.T. character...
Yeah.
You'd know yourself would had to have had an experience with this dude because...
Yeah.
He sometimes wears a purple hoodie or a light brown hoodie, like a robe with a hood.
And the stick.
And he's got a golden stick. And you saw...
remembered what he was saying about the stick the other night, which is probably a little bit inappropriate to talk about.
But what is trippy is you and me, I think we're in here, and he had a wig on.
Oh, that's
you
right.
You saw him with a blonde wig, and I saw him with sort of long,
reddy brown hair.
Yeah. And I saw
him... Cut it down the middle, just hanging either side.
And I saw him with a red wig on, and then I go and talk to Giles, and I don't even think I've ever watched E.T. I used to have the flying saucer, which I've shown on the show, not even a flying saucer, his spacecraft. I think I may have when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But Giles said to me, in the movie E.T., E.T. has a wig on in one scene, and I'm thinking...
Yeah, I wouldn't have seen it since I was really young, too.
Well, I was just laughing, going, well, this is the type of crap this dude pulls, just for a laugh.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? To incorporate that into our experiences with him, that shows us the level of sense of humour or a trickster element.
Yeah.
Because there are trickster beings that we do come across.
But I would say... with the beings that are like that, I always like to check if they're, you know, working for highest good or, you know, coming from a loving or unconditional loving vibration as well.
Yeah.
With him, you get that still. Even though he's a trickster, but I'm just saying you feel that it's safe.
Yeah. But it's really weird because, talking to Mary about it, I've not met a being that's older and more wiser. Like, I can't explain... It's like the ancient side of the mantis beings mixed
which with... We've had a lot of different mantis beings at the moment.
And I've never really had interactions with them
vibrations.
Until being on this... The night that I left to move up here, I had that mantis experience where it was in my room and I could hear it, but I was frozen.
Which we had that on camera the other night too, the sound.
The sound coming through, which we didn't... None of us heard at the time.
No.
But
it was louder than the sound that you're recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is all the stuff where... A lot's going on at the moment. I think everyone's sort of catching up with their soul groups and their space, you know, Alan Ferguson calls space family. We're all getting involved. But this is the point that, you know, I'm trying to make is we're all catching up now. But in doing that, especially people that would be watching this show, you're interested in something different. And being interested in something different means you've sort of got to pull down your guard and be open to anything. Be skeptical. I think being skeptical is good. I think debunkers are idiots, and I think that's because they've got a preconceived notion of whatever it is they're looking into. Mm. But being a skeptic, you look at either side of the argument, weigh up the evidence, or you listen to both sides. In saying that, I think, you know, a lot of people that will be listening to this are like that, which is skeptical, which is good.
Mm.
But,
I always say trust your heart too.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. Look at you at the moment within.
I mean, that's not just a hippie thing.
Mm.
You know, the heart actually has cells that are the same as our brain cells too. So it can be used as a thinking, feeling.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's all. We've talked about that here. Coming from the heart on issues of whatever and start thinking from here rather than from here. Then some men think from down there, but... but you know what I mean? Like, you've said it a lot to people, you know, coming from the, you know, they've got to come from the heart on whatever matter they're looking at, and they know it from within. But
it's also the shift to where we're heading as well.
That's the vibration we're hoping to come from is from the heart, because that's where a lot of the issues today can be can be sorted, or the spark of the flame to deal with that issue is going to come from thinking on the heart level rather than any other level. But like you know, and this is why it's been really cool hanging out with you among many other things, but being able to interact and talk with you about like how we have the same beings we see at the exact same time, yeah, and others here on the property. But what I guess I'm trying to say is the remote viewing aspect. Now, being psychic,
yeah,
whatever people want to call it, we talk about the first thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And Rodwell does the same to me when she's getting me working on guide stuff and whatever. And it's very true. I did, I've done remote viewing courses. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think remote viewing and meditating, as much as I did for the years that I was single and had no kids and lived alone, yeah, I was able to spend hours a day without any interruption doing it.
Yeah.
And getting in tune back with my own higher self. But the tripped out thing is people think what they think about being psychic or remote viewing is not actually the way it is. Like, you know yourself, the first thing that comes to mind, or the first image you get, or the first symbol you get, or a voice you get, that's where it starts. And you just, yeah, the first thing, you know, what's, you know, you ask this question and bang, you get this. Whatever, yeah, no matter how stupid it sounds.
That's right.
And I'm bringing this up because there's tips and tools people could actually play around with their friends doing that.
Yeah.
Or get a box, write down something on it, put it in the box in the middle of the room so nobody can see it, and just for fun, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And play around with that type of thing. Would you reckon that would be something that people could...
Definitely. And one of the things that I like to do at my psychometry workshops as well, because psychometry is about picking up emanations or vibrations off objects.
Yeah.
So we might, you know, say we've got a group of people, everyone will put a piece of jewellery into a box, and then each person will go and pick out a piece.
Yeah.
And so then what we do, we go into a meditative process, and we tune into the energy or the vibration of the object, and it's literally just to write down the first few things that come to mind, and we'll expand upon that until you can't get anything else.
Yeah.
So this might be a process that would take sort of 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's interesting for everyone to, you know, to start talking about the emanations that they got or vibration, and then you slowly get to work out who it is in the group. And some of the things for people that have only just, you know, this might be their first time doing that, some of the stuff that they get just blows you away. It just shows that we all have that inbuilt psychic side or the ESP side. It's just a matter of using it. The same as you use a muscle, you know, you do your biceps or whatever, you build your strength.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things, going back to what you said a few seconds ago, how people sort of, you know, it tripped me out when I did remote viewing and then I was given what the target was.
Mm.
And I'm like, blow me, that's exactly what I...
Because you've done numbers with it as well as an object, haven't you?
I've done numbers, I've done objects, I've done places, I've done facilities, I've even done other planets and given targets. So what will happen with remote viewing, how I used to do it, I don't do it like this anymore, but I wouldn't probably be where I am today in terms of my abilities if I hadn't done it this way, which is... the remote viewing that the military use, like Ed Danes and Ingo Swan and Pat Price, I think his name was, there's a lot of them that were doing this at Stanford Research Institute. And I think Jacques Vallée later on came up with others, the concept of the internet, where basically I think the people in the remote viewing program were saying that, imagine, you know, I can't think of the terminology, but if you think of the universe and throughout all the planes of dimensions, is it like a Wi-Fi grid or the internet, and then the human brain as the computer device hooked up to it, and that basically the first thing that comes to mind, like I was saying, will lead you to whatever you're trying to get the outcome. But in saying that, what would happen is, for example, you would get a piece of paper, or an envelope, and in that envelope you would put an object, or like you'd get a picture and draw a line to whatever you would want me to remote view in it. Mm-hmm. So just say you had a piece of, just say, like, I don't know what that is, but we'll just say a cross.
Yep.
You would draw a line with the pen to that. Cross. So there's a cross there, whatever that is. You would draw a line from that and do an 8-digit, 2 4-digit numbers, so an 8-digit number. and all you do is put this in the envelope, so I can't see what the hell it is.
Yeah.
And then you would write that exact 2 4-digit numbers on top of the envelope that you inserted it into. That's all I've got is those 2 4-digit numbers. I can't see what it is. I don't know what the hell it is. Mm-hmm. All I've got is those two numbers. Then on a piece of paper, I would write down those 2 4-digit numbers, and then I'll do an ideogram, which is sort of like a scribble of just anything.
Yeah.
And it's connecting you to that straight away. And from there, I would go into drawing out sights, smells, objects, whatever I can see, sense. Basically what you would get on a 5-sense level.
Yeah.
And then you could even go further into it and redo it on sights or objects within.
Yeah.
You know, just say you've got a facility, you've got a building there. You could even get that building and do a new piece of paper on the building and what you sense is in there.
Hmm.
So if I hadn't done it that way, I'll probably not be where I am today. Not to say you haven't done that and look at what your abilities are.
My experience with remote viewing was just not in technical terms, like in the way that you've done it. Mine was just going, oh, I think I know how to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just seeing, you know, on a simple drive, just going, okay, there's a red coloured car parked out the front of here, and then, you know, just predicting, I think it was around 5 blocks, what was around each corner. And then by the 5th one, I'm like, all right, this is too freaky.
Yeah.
And, you know, it freaked me out. This was years and years ago.
Yeah.
Probably about 12 years ago. But, yeah, I sort of could see it, like, as a remote view thing, I guess looking like a Google Earth type thing was the image that came to mind.
Now, in saying that, have you had any sort of super soldier stuff or visions or anything weird? Would you mind going into it?
Yeah.
Because it's sort of connected us, one of the things, and I'm still a bit...
Yeah, I'm still finding out about that too. One thing I have seen is... Or there was a little bit came up in my regression with Mary Rodwell to do with it. The other thing that I've had since was memories or, like, images or visions of jumping, is what I was told. I saw myself and another person, with another person in the middle, jumping, but it looked like it was going to Mars.
Yeah.
And all I got told was, I think it was time jumping, something like that, was the phrase that came to mind.
And then I've sort of told you a little bit, but don't have a clue on sort of what I've known, because we've kept you, you don't want to know too much about it. So the information she does tell me or you come up with.
Well, I have had others that I know that have had the super soldier experience too, say that they've seen me, you know, on board craft or, you know, underwater, working with stargates that are underwater, things like that. Yeah. So it's something that's still being revealed more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, same with, you know, that was sort of
the grandfather connection too.
Your grandfather being a Marine in the U.S.
From
the
U.S. Marine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, one of those things that, I'm getting chills.
Yeah, I just got blasted a bit too.
Yeah. But, you know, that's one of the things, like, you know, it's a bit emotional for me going into that, because it starts to, more and more is being realised to me about that stuff as well, and it sort of, you know, blows you out. And one of the hardest things for me to have ever gone into or research or look at is the super soldier stuff, because it's even way more out there than some of the stuff I've experienced. In saying that, I'm not saying all super soldier stuff is, you know, there's validity to it, but I'm not saying it's not either, because I know how weird it can be out there.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. One thing we might do, we'll end the show soon, but one thing I wouldn't mind going into, or if you would like to do it, if these dudes would like to work with you, would you mind giving up myself or the viewers out there at this time, at this place, if they could give us a message in Syrian and you could interpret it in whatever form? So, I'll speak Syrian she can speak many star languages, but
a lot more has come out since meeting you too.
Yeah.
Which I think that happens too when you meet other star seeds. And you align with others that are, you know, doing similar work to what you're doing and have similar explanations and understandings of things, it opens you up on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So, just through meeting you and some others.
And she even had me bloody speaking, Ryan, the other day. I started getting there.
You'll get there.
But it tripped me out too much that I had to stop, because I was just like, what the hell am I doing? And...
Because it's scary, because you're letting go of old belief systems.
All programming, you just let it go. Exactly. And then what comes through is pretty trippy. But is there anything...
Yeah. So basically, I'm already getting the English to do with it.
Yeah.
What they're telling me is about, they're saying like restructuring grid systems
mm-hmm.
that are here on Earth that are connected with the stars and things. So the meteors that are coming tonight are to do with like a cleansing that's happening.
Yeah.
I'll just see what else I get with that. They're just saying that the most important thing that you can do is to work with the intent of the heart.
Yeah.
And they're saying to work on cleansing the energy of the heart as well. So I'll just do like a little bit of Syrian
and
that'll be to do with all that we've just talked about.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so I'll just close my eyes.
Mia yala donna yala taka. Ia yai lunna yala tadadrako. Ia yai no kodi yala tadadu. Mia yana yala tala to yala ta. Ia yana tko hina yala to hina. Ia shaya no hina la ko hina.
Awesome.
Hmm. So it's just realigning those energies of the heart grid as well.
Yeah.
So looking at the heart as a geometry. And then realigning that to the earth geometry.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the basics of it anyway.
And how can people put that into practice? Like, is it working? Like, what I get straight away is working on themselves.
Yeah.
Just through thought.
Yeah.
And even intent. Trying. Yeah, intent. Redirecting yeah. where they're going. What I'll do just quickly while we're here in my lounge room, which is tiny because I'm in the caravan, but show. Sold us this. You can see this on a website and on Facebook. These are sort of like the aura
drawings.
Aura drawings. Half of you dudes in the States and around the world must be laughing at how I talk because everyone's correcting me on how to say words and I've never had that before.
Missed the bottom part.
I don't know how.
Yep.
You see that.
So this is like an elemental or like a fairy type being. So this was drawn back in June. So. Each time you get one drawn, there's new energies that you're working with, and there's a Merkaba up here.
Right, and that was brought up today, the green Merkaba, and then she says, you should check that drawing, and to trip me out, the darn thing's sitting there.
I know. Sometimes you will still be working with the same thing months later or years later.
What's trippy, I must admit, there's a cat being from Orion that's connected to Shiji, and it's very similar. That I do know of cat beings, but I usually work with the Syrian cat beings. One of them in particular is Patma, which came through when I did the guide work the other night for you, and my infrared camera went to colour.
Oh yeah.
Now, for that cool. to even happen, the and lens had to have been taken off, and you would have heard me if I was playing a prank doing that.
Yeah, but it happened, was it more than 3 times or so?
I think it happened 3 or 4 times, and not only that, the colour in the dark was intensified, so you could see in colour in the dark. So just say I'll turn the lights off here now, you'd hardly see me at all. But in this case, you could still see. Like, it's weird to explain. I might put it up one day. Anyway, sitting there, I can show people. What I must say is trippy is Lauren Kurth, when I visited the Oz ESETI Centre, did an aura photo of me somewhere. How do you say it? Is it
aura.
Aura. I've got it somewhere, but what's trippy is when you did this for me, the pinkish, reddish colour is what my whole thing was picture. At that time. That's
interesting.
That is interesting because when I saw that, I'm like, there's no way you could know that because I didn't show anyone. I showed, a couple of friends and family when I was back in Albury before I moved up, but that sort of went in with that. But from this, there's a lot of information Sol will write with it. She does this over the internet as well, along with doing
in person
readings and that, depending on the area you're located. Those interested, we'll be trying to do a workshop in the next couple of months. Yourself, me and Mary Rodwell, we're just going to try and work out some of the logistics of when we can all do it here.
Yep.
From about October, the meeting place will be having a fair bit of stuff going on, so just keep posted at Facebook at the meeting place. There, it's the meeting place. So, you've got Solrita psychic readings.com.
That's right.
And you've also under Soul Rita and Tari on Facebook and Soul Rita Soul Psychic Soul Readings on Facebook as well. Those who don't know me, just go to petermaxwellslattery.com. You'll get all the links to all my stuff, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever there, and more shows there as well. We'll end it there. We could probably talk all day, and I'll have you on every now and then, just like I do with Brad Thornton and Damien Knott and whoever, you know.
Yeah.
I just think it's great to get information out there, but... Again, thanks for being on the show. Thanks. Anyone that wants to get the info, just look at the links attached as well. And cheers and take it easy, everyone. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.